do not fall into the trap of having cost transparency just to support your budgeting process. If you do that, you're inevitably going to go backwards than forwards. Rather, you have to change your mindset, having cost transparency for the purpose of understanding the value that business is deriving from my solutions.
Welcome to the Hackett Group's Business Acceleration Podcast. Week after week, you'll hear from top experts on how to avoid obstacles, manage detours, and celebrate milestones on the journey to world-class performance.
I'm Jay Ruffin, your host for today's podcast. I'll be guiding discussion, providing context as needed. Joining me today are Jonas Johannes and Matt Williams. Jonas is an expert in all things digital, from cloud and RPA to data science. Joining also is Matt Williams, who's worked with me and Jonas and the transformation team to conduct tons of research in the areas of cloud migration, data adoption, as well as look at one of our key topics that we're going to be discussing today around price and value. So let's jump in. Let me start the conversation, guys, with a question that I think will kind of help us frame some of the conversation. That's really, how has price and value and budgeting and forecasting and variance analysis, how has that changed given some of the things that have happened in the market today?
Jay, thank you for that question. That's a very, very good question. As you know, CIO in general have been primarily focused when it comes to budgeting in the process of budgeting, forecasting, and variance analysis. And year to year go use an incremental budgeting model primarily to manage their budget and to plan for next year, next quarter, right? What have been lagging or missing throughout the CIO experience is, you know, this notion of cost transparency, where you have a better transparency of your costs at different levels, so that not only to understand how much cost you are managing, but actually the value of that cost. So in lieu of that, companies like Apptio have emerged in order to provide cost transparency. But from our perspective at Hackett, what we like is, you know, we like the client to go one step further. What that means is they need to start explaining what that cost is doing for their business partners. In other words, to shift their mindset from a cost-centric point of view to a value-centric point of view. And, you know, really drive their communication with their business partners via this notion of price to value, right? What is the value of the service that I am delivering to you, Mr. Business Partner? That is really what the market should go. And I think Hackett is pushing hard to really encourage that kind of mindset. Our research shows like that some companies and some are actually contemplating this culture, this mindset, particularly powered by the questions that the CIO and CFO office are asking. What am I getting for my money? Why do I need this?
Given some of the things that you just mentioned in regards to the value-centric kind of transition, and given some of the things I'm thinking that have happened with COVID, folks are moving, working remotely, there's more attention to consumption and consumerism. Do you think that's also helped in developing more of a consumer-centric way of operating, not just a value-centric? And I think value and consumer may be the same thing, but what are your thoughts on kind of how it's impacted, how we actually look at the customer, not just the value, but the value as it relates to the customer?
That's a very good question, Jay. The way I see that is there are primarily two forces at play here. The primary force here is the transformation which has taken place, primarily led by technology across the channels, number one. Number two, the demand of a customer and the demand of a customer have shifted to the extent now we have millennials. Let me give you some example of what I mean by that. So as a millennial, which we have one here in Matt, they are not asking and waiting for our solutions. They actually expect the solution to be available to them. Let me give you a specific example of that. A millennial goes to his iPhone or any Android device to the app store with the expectation to download an existing solution. They don't even think that the solution is not there. The solution ought to be there. What this means to enterprise or companies like banks and stuff is that a millennial will go there and he better have that solution available for them. Okay? That's a very large pressure. So that's independent of the cost, transparency, price to value to do that. However, I think where those two link is, we haven't really had deep questions, particularly if as a CIO, for example, in a bank, you are really still tied to the old way of looking at things in terms of budgeting or forecasting and variance analysis and incremental budget mechanisms. You have no ability to say what applications or what service delivers what value, not only from operational excellence perspective, but from a customer perspective. To the extent that the customer now is demanding, making really high demands, you as a CIO, you need to be thinking at the different level. You need to be thinking at the value level, you know, and at the price to value level. And most importantly, you need to understand the technology, you know, landscape clearly from a value and a cost perspective, and make sure that you remove all the complexity which exists in your technology landscape to make the solutioning process much more smooth, and also to actually meet the customers at where they are. Most importantly, your pace have to be increased to deliver those solutions that the millennials expect.
So this really would help with some of the strategy discussions that I would imagine the CIOs would have with the folks in the business. Because if they're doing these types of things, increasing transparency in particular, it just helps legitimize some of the actions they're taking. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I think having the cost transparency and have a mindset of price to value, it will force you not only to inject some nimbleness on your technology landscape, but also really construct a strategy which is aligned with technology and show business that you're as nimble, as open to change as they are. One of the things which are really critical right now, the millennial example that I gave is, you know, how fast change occurs and how fast business accepts the change. Business actually are moving very fast to deliver to the demand of the solutions across multiple channels, right? The CIO need to have that agility and that speed to market that business demands. So if you CIO actually positions or her positions in terms of those kind of conversations, which are tightly with the strategic imperative, which are tightly coupled with business, not only will elevate the value of the service delivered by the CIO, but also will elevate the CIO itself or herself to be present and influence the strategic imperatives that business actually constructs.
Given all that, how do you get started? If you're a CIO and you're kind of in that quagmire, not knowing how do I actually bolster my ability to provide more value, to be more transparent, how do you get started with developing some type of model that's going to do that?
I think the starting point is probably start to think in terms of deploying a cost transparency program, which allows, basically breaks down your technology landscape and start to really identify what the cost, you know, baseline the cost as is, right? To understand whether you actually have a balance between the cost or the price of the service that you're delivering and the value that you're delivering. At the same time, I think you also have to do that with your eye of removing complexity from the current technology landscape. In other words, map your entire technology from the enterprise architecture vantage point, and actually then try to price or cost each element and try to tie that cost to the capability that you actually deliver into the business itself. Then ask yourself, am I being effective in terms of costing or pricing to the service that I'm delivering? The key question there is, you know, for the value that business may consume, how much are they willing to price? That's the kind of conversation you want to have. Secondly, any redundancy, any duplication, any which you might have acquired because of your post-merger integrations, M&A activities, you need to look at it very carefully and start launch a program which try to consolidate more applications. You don't need 23 or so origination applications in a bank. You don't need 27 servicing applications. You want to find the best way to deliver the servicing solution and origination solutions in a very simplifying, limbic technology landscape. So that's those things I believe need to go in parallel, at least back to back in sequence. Provide transparency in cost to the service that you're delivering to your business partners.
So in essence, having almost like a rationalization of some of the complexity to help simplify cost is almost like a prerequisite, if you will.
Yep.
So that you can have that transparent, well understood discussion with some of the stakeholders. Does that also mean, and I'm kind of thinking they're kind of our enablers, right? So there may be, it sounds like some type of rationalization program is kind of an enabler. Does it also dictate that you have a strong kind of financial underpinning so you can kind of understand where costs are and budgets and that type of thing, as well as have a strong sense of architecture? So you understand as you start rationalizing how that's going to impact not only cost, but the architecture and the performance of application. I mean, are there other dependencies that you see that if folks don't have these things in place, again, the ability to clearly articulate transparency is going to be kind of impeded a bit because you're not going to be able to move as fast with simplification?
Well, I think interesting that you brought app rationalization. I would probably extend it. I will say technology rationalization in general, right? Which means you need to look both at your applications, which are the relevant components that enable capabilities, but also the enabling capability beneath them, which is in the infrastructure side of the equation, your data centers and so on. So the whole technology landscape in a way, right? But I think traditionally or in the past, application rationalization have been a study, which basically helps you identify where the cost pots or the cost hotspots, maybe heat map your landscape from a cost perspective and identify the opportunity that allows you to target where the actual rationalization should take place, right? What haven't happened with a lot of rationalization studies, we haven't taken to the next level in terms of decommissioning the targeted application. In other words, take them out and actually then revamping the current technology landscape to be more nimble. So we do all this rationalization study, but we don't follow up. I would still believe if I were to advise on that front is go ahead, start it with an app, with the technology rationalization program or technology transformation program, identifying the opportunity, but then you have to manage the process of decommissioning and taking out technology, which are duplicates, which are legacy, which needs to be revamped or refactored. And you have to do the work of really injecting nimbleness to your technology landscape. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's an underpinning of transformation to ensure that transparency is always going to be there, is kind of what you're saying.
Yeah. The underlying hypothesis there should be current, and this is actually mostly true for large companies and true for medium company, is that the current way we got to this point is through merger and acquisition. And to the extent that we executed on our post-merger integration very fast, we might have left a lot of technology intact, therefore acquiring multiple solutions for the same thing, right? And also triggering multiple integration points and data exchange, which are unnecessary, making the technology landscape really cumbersome, clunky, and unnecessarily costly, okay? So that's why I say, like, you know, the two effects, the rationalization for the purpose of simplifying and injecting agility into the technology landscape and the cost transparency go together. And the purpose, the output you're trying to do is, you know, to get out of that is, you know, this idea of price to value, or put another way, shifting your technology office to the value center from the old cost center.
Let me shift the conversation a little bit. And I think you mentioned there are certain tools that exist out there that can kind of aid your ability to kind of extract, present, manage some of this price to value costing exercise like Aptio you mentioned. What's your perspective on some of those tools and kind of how they have been used and how beneficial they are given the journey that folks might be on?
Obviously, there are tools emerging both for legacy technology landscape. And by legacy, I mean, to the extent that we have cloud, we need also to consider that. So let's just use the notion of on-premise, synonymous with legacy. What I have on premise and also what I'm going to end up having on the cloud as I actually have a balanced service delivery model, which includes application or capability on the cloud and capability on-premise, right? So to that extent, the optimization issue to Thrive 4 is not only the current model, but as you transition, as you strategize to be a lot more aligned with a business and to leverage the transformation technology and approach, which includes cloud, you need to have much more comprehensive construct of your target architecture, right? Along with its value and why you're building it in place to be effective.
One other question I had, and kind of tying it back to something you mentioned, are there particular industries you think that are more apt to being really, should be really focused on price to value, cost transparency, either because of what's happened because of COVID or kind of some of the dynamics in the market versus others? Like, for example, financial services or consumer products. I mean, are there some industries that they really should be focused on this stuff and others it's not so much?
Yeah, I mean, financial services, they have been an avant-garde of technology, either directly themselves or led by the fintechs. So you will see, I think earlier you asked the question, what are the tools that you've seen out there? So let's look at this in a construct of who's adopting some of these tools. And one of those tools, which is probably leading, is Apptio, which provide technology based on TBM that provides cost transparency, right, for your technology, right? So, and the companies, large companies like in the financial service, for example, they are going and adopting that to have better view or transparency of the cost. I am an alumni of Wells Fargo. I was a CIO there. The tool that Apptio offers or tools that provide me transparency are welcome, but they will actually shift my gears to go from an old school budgeting process, which is based on incremental budgeting, right? And have provide me a robust and informed discussion with my business partners relative to value and the price they're paying on the value that I deliver. So in terms of the earlier question, like, you know, what are the tools? The second tool probably, which is most common in general, is a lot of custom tools like the advisors and consulting company have built, including Hackett. But I think it's time that we shift to the new normal using platforms to make the cost transparency available not only to on-premise technology landscape, but also to my hybrid cloud-based landscape. A tool that the clients might want to look at is things like Apptio's Cloudability, Cloud Health, all the native tools that company like AWS and Azure provide.
One more question, Jonas, as it relates to maturity. I know that maturity modeling has always been a way for companies to look at how well they're doing kind of on that journey, right? Does Hackett have anything to kind of help gauge the maturity, where folks are on the journey from a price to value perspective?
Yeah, I think Hackett does have a maturity construct for a company to evolve towards price to value mindset. It is available in the white paper that Matt Williams, Jay Ruffin, and Jonas published in the last few. But effectively, it's a 5-point maturity level, which basically gradually directs company what they ought to have to reach that maturity level. For example, a fledgling cost discipline and price to value mindset looks like you have a cost. You have a structure that have all your costs consolidated and reviewed annually for budgeting purposes. And budgets are defined on a cost plus basis to keep the lights on, basically the incremental budget that I was talking about. Okay. And it goes from there from a maturity level of 1, which I just talked about, to a maturity level of 5, which explain what might be a desirable construct there would be. There is an end-to-end visibility into IT cost across all resources, services, applications, and business units. Basically, you know what it costs you for every service and capability that you are delivering. and IT and business act as strategic partners and jointly direct IT spend to the extent that you're asking not a question, how much it cost me, rather what price, what value I'm deriving from this particular capability. So you want to go from a mindset of incremental budget to mindset, what value I'm deriving.
That's great. Last question I had, I know that the things are kind of crazy, like I started out with, in today's market, given all the things that are happening. What are some of the common pitfalls that you think folks should try not to fall into as they get started? Example, one might be get started without going down the rationalization path and having some type of ongoing program to kind of help with ensuring that you can rationalize that complexity and simplify. Are there other things that folks should definitely not do as they start the journey of trying to provide more value and transparency?
So what I would say is, you know, the key thing that not to do is do not fall into the trap of having cost transparency just to support your budgeting process, okay? If you do that, you're inevitably going to go backwards than forwards, right? Rather, you have to change your mindset, having cost transparency for the purpose of understanding the value that the business is deriving from my solutions. So that mindset will help you not only construct the right approach to launching the right initiatives to be successful in this program, but also it would start the evangelizing process that you need for all the company to transition to this way of thinking. So that's one thing to avoid, is basically trying to cost transparency to see it as just part of the budgeting process. So second, what I would make sure I do is, once we have a transparency achieved, we want to avoid the fact of not really taking the application rationalization or the technology rationalization which follow from that, taken to the next level. It's not only about providing transparency, what it cost me. It's actually how we can change the technology landscape to be nimble, agile, and operationally efficient to deliver to the customer needs. Matt, do you want to add anything?
No, I think you covered some great points there. I think the only other thing I would add is really ensuring that you get that executive level buy-in so that it is being used on a consistent level. Like you said, not using it on a one-off basis just for annual budgeting, but used as new services are being developed.
There were a few points on taking action to create cost transparency that you constructed. It might make me helpful actually to talk about those points, actually at least mention them. So I think the other thing I would add to what Matt said is, you know, in organization have to take action to create cost transparency. And our five bullet points that I probably, five things that I proposed. You know, first, technology leaders need to understand current technology cost model and determine where we stand on cost transparency, maturity scale. That's important. We talked about maturity scale earlier, right? And from that, develop a future vision of our cost model that aligns with strategic direction, not only of our technology organization, but of our business. Second, use the cost transparency model to establish a chargeback practice as a foundational element to transform our business partners to think in terms of price to value. So that, let's call that the price to value transformation journey. Third, we need to empower the office of the CIO. We need to use this program, this opportunity to empower the office of the CIO to own the cost model enhancements, ensuring that technology leadership is aligned with the new operating model and the price to value mindset. Fourth, we need to socialize or evangelize the new mindset, which is predicated on the new cost transparency and the price to value model, with business partners and technology leaders aligned to gain the most understanding and support to the price to value mindset. And last but not least, create a long-term roadmap for transforming to the mindset of price to value and use change management principles to ensure that change occurs towards the new normal. Those are the five things that actions that I would like to see our clients taking as they think, as they start to embark into the price to value mindset.
That's great. Well, Matt, Jonas, thanks so much. Great conversation. Looking forward to having our next conversation with you guys in the near term.
Okay. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find the audio, helpful resources, and a transcript of each episode at podcast.thehackitgroup.com. If you liked this episode, please share it. You can also subscribe at Apple Podcasts or your favorite listening app so you never miss an episode. We'd welcome your feedback by tapping the rating on this or any episode, or send us an email at podcast@thehackitgroup.com. The Hackett Group is a global leader in defining and enabling world-class performance. Learn how we can assist with your improvement journey at www.thehackitgroup.com.